Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and how's everybody doing out there? This is Ima Hoover for the Set Apart Life Morning Show, and it's a pleasure to be back with you this morning. Tuesday I was supposed to be here, as some of you might know. I wasn't because I kind of overslept. I slept in, not on purpose, and so the show didn't get to go live. But for some reason, my body was just probably extra tired, and I just needed to get the rest in, so I did. Anyway, it's a pleasure to be here this morning with you, as always, and we're going to have an exciting show this morning. At least I hope it's exciting. This morning, we're going to talk about living off-grid, living in community, but before we go into that, you know, I want to talk about, you know, some headlines, some news headlines this morning. We all know that this world is crazy. And, yes, anyway, one of our news headlines, and this is from the Los Angeles Times. President Obama, our fight against violent extremism. Okay. It says, the United States has made significant, now this is Obama, I think this is Obama talking, they report him talking, or I don't know. Anyway, it says the United States had made significant gains against terrorism. We've decimated the core Al-Qaeda leadership, strengthened Homeland Security, and worked to prevent another large-scale attack like 9/11. At the same time, the threat has evolved. The Al-Qaeda affiliate in Yemen actively plots against us since 9/11 terrorists have murdered U.S. citizens overseas, including in the attacks in Benghazi, Libya, here in the United States. Americans have been killed at Fort Hood and during the Boston Marathon. It goes on to say, in Syria and Iraq, the terrorist group we call ISIL, which is ISIS, has slaughtered innocent civilians and murdered hostages, including Americans, and has spread its barbarism to Libya with the murder of Egyptian Christians in recent months. We've seen deadly attacks in Ottawa, Sydney, Paris, and Copenhagen. Elsewhere, the Pakistan Taliban massacred more than 100 school children and their teachers. From Somalia, Al-Shabaab has launched attacks across East Africa. In Nigeria and neighboring countries, Boko Haram kills and kidnaps men, women, and children. In the face of this challenge, we must stand united internationally and here at home. We know that military force alone cannot solve the problem, nor can we simply take out terrorists who kill innocent civilians. We also have to confront the violent extremists, the propagandists, recruiters, enablers, who may not directly engage in terrorist attacks themselves, but who radicalize, recruit, and incite others to do so. Okay, now, I just want to say something about this. The first, let me go back. It talks about, they said that they've taken out the leadership of Al-Qaeda. Well, we know that's not true, because Al-Qaeda is, this ISIS group is Al-Qaeda. That, you know, when they figured, everybody figured out what was going on, they just changed the name. That's all they did. They just changed the name. It's the same group of people. And the United States don't want people to know that. And they definitely don't want people to know that they're the ones kind of behind all this. Yeah, I said that, and I mean that, you know, because you have people who are there and know all this is going on, okay? And the problem is, our president here in the United States doesn't want to admit that we have Islamic extremism going on, okay? Now, just like was it last week or week before anyway, when it was 21 Egyptian Christians, was it, that they beheaded, you know, so, and they go, and just like it says in here, with the Taliban that massacred more than 100 school children and their teachers, from Somalia, you know, they're attacking all across East Africa and Nigeria, and also what happened, like I read, in Ottawa, Sydney, Paris, Copenhagen. It's going around all over the place, you know. And it's funny, like he says, you don't want to blame a religion for what a lot of them are doing. But at the same time, you have to say, like they say, not all Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists are Muslims. It's something to that. Anyway, I just wanted to speak on that because, you know, things are happening. All right, and it's sad that the president won't admit. He just will not admit. Talking about those who are doing this don't represent Islam. Well, Islam has been a violent religion from its inception. That's how it spread across the world, by conquering, and either you convert or you die. It's been like that from the beginning. You know, so anyway, that on that. Now, on the home front here with the news is that there was this judge that put on hold Obama's, you know, put his immigration plan to give amnesty to all these immigrants, and this federal judge put a halt to that. And it says, let me read some of that. What the judge says from Washington: one day before hundreds of thousands of undocumented immigrants were to begin applying for work permits and legal protection, administration officials on Tuesday postponed President Obama's sweeping executive actions on immigration, indefinitely saying they had no choice but to comply with a federal judge's last-minute order halting the program. The judge's ruling was a significant setback for the president, who had asserted broad authority to take executive actions in the face of congressional Republicans' refusal to overhaul the immigration system. White House officials have defended the president's actions as legal and proper, even in as his adversaries in Congress and the states have accused him of vastly exceeding his powers of his office. In a decision late Monday, Judge Andrew S. Hanning of Federal District Court of the Southern District of Texas in Brownsville ruled in favor of Texas and 25 other states that had challenged Mr. Obama's immigration actions. The judge said that the administration's programs would impose major burdens on states, unleashing illegal immigration and straining state budgets, and the administration had not followed required procedures for changing federal rules. Okay, now, I understand that this country was stolen. I understand that, you know, most people who want to get here are actually rightful people of this place. But I also understand that this man overstepped his boundaries. He made an executive decision on something that the Congress should have voted on. That's congressional matters right there. I don't know. He just take it upon himself to do things that... I understand it's the signs of the time, but I was going to say, you know, they have let this man get away with so much that no other president could have done. With that, we're going to go take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk about living off the grid. Be right back.
Hey, did you know that if you consider yourself a part of the Almighty Yahweh, Yahuwah's people, that there is a sign you are to literally carry? A sign that He put in place Himself, showing who belongs to Him? Exodus 31:13 reads, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, Surely My Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between Me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you." And here's a bonus. Did you know that His Sabbath is not the Sabbath most believers keep today, which is the day of the sun, also known as Sun Day? Now remember, when you learn better, do better.
Shalom Yisrael, I would like to introduce you to HebrewMarketplace.com, a business directory for Hebrew Israelites across the globe. This is a platform for us to find and support each other in our endeavors. If you have a product or a service that you offer that you would like to present to your Hebrew family, I invite you to get listed at HebrewMarketplace.com. You can post your business information, pictures, and a video link in your listing. There's also a space to post your events here for free. Come by and visit the site often to see new listings and support our brothers and sisters in their endeavors. And remember to share this site and the listings that you find here with others. Shalom, Mishpacha.
Morning to you, man. Morning to your love. Africa must wake up, sleeping sons of Jacob. But what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This is the day we working. Can you tell me, young ones, who are we today? Yeah, now. Well, I Africa must wake up, the sleeping sons of Jacob. For what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. Yesterday we were kings, can you tell me, young ones, who are we today?
The black oasis, ancient Africa, the sacred. Awaken the sleeping giant. Science, art is your creation. I dreamt that we could visit old Kemet. Your history is too complex and rigid for some Western critics. They want the whole subject diminished. But Africa's the origin of all the world's religions. We praise bridges that carried us over the battlefronts of Sudanic soldiers. The task put before us.
You hear me out? Africa must wake up, sleeping sons of Jacob. For what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This the day we working. Can you tell me, young ones, who are we today? Yeah, now. Well, Africa must wake up, sleeping sons of Jacob. For what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This the day we working. Can you tell me, young ones, who are we today?
Who are we today? The slums, diseases, AIDS. We need that all to fade. We cannot be afraid. So who are we today? We are the morning after, the makeshift youth, the slave ship captured. Our diaspora is the final chapter. The ancestral lineage built pyramids. America's first immigrant, the king's son and daughters from now waters. The first architect, the first philosophers, astronomers, the first prophets, and the doctors was us.
Hey, now can we all pray? Each in his own way, teaching and learning, we can work it out. We'll have a warm bed, we'll have some warm bread and shelter from the storm jet, and we can work it out. Mother Nature feeds all in famine and drought. Tell those selfish in ways not to share us out. What's the tree without root? Lion without tooth? Lie without truth. You hear me out? Africa must wake up, you sleeping sons of Jacob. For what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This the day we working. Can you tell me, young ones, who are we today? Yeah, Lord. Well, Africa must wake up, you sleeping sons of Jacob. For what tomorrow may bring, bring some more love come. This the day we working. I tell you, young blood, this world is yours today.
Daddy, oh, daddy, why you never just eat it? On Ninky Dorte, Visa, why didn't get the eat it? On the Marquilla, Tenso, why didn't get the Lushe? On the Adlinky, some eye, why didn't get the Lushe? Daddy, oh, daddy, why you never just eat it? On Ninky Dorte, Visa, why didn't get the eat it? On the Marquilla, Tenso, why didn't get the Lushe? On the Adlinky, some eye, why didn't get the Lushe?
Relatives, let's take it back home.
I said, well, I Africa must wake up, sleeping sons of Jacob. For what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. Yesterday we working, can you tell me, young ones, who are we today? Well, Africa must wake up, sleeping sons of Jacob. For what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This day we working, can you tell me, young ones, who are we today? Who are we today? Morning to you, morning to you, man. Morning to you, Lord.
Back from our break, and that song was Children of the Promise, and Hebrew, I got that down as a Hebrew Israelite song. I have to go get the person who actually sing that. And then we had Africa Must Wake Up. That was Nas and Damian Marley. All right, so we're talking about living off the grid for those who want to live off the grid. If you know any Hebrew Israelites that are living off the grid, go to our Facebook page, the Set Apart Life Morning Show, and fill us in with some information. Because I know there are people who live off grid, but I personally don't know Not saying that there's not, but I don't know any Hebrew Israelites who are out there doing this. But if you happen to know anybody, you know, let us know. Go to the Set Apart Life Morning Show Facebook page and tell us, because we would like to know. Anyway, for those of you who don't have an understanding of what living off the grid is or what it means, living in a way where you're not connected to the power grids. The typical home is not connected to natural gas, water, telephone lines. In other words, going off the grid means shunning public utilities in favor for creating your own energy. And I'll talk about that in a minute. All right, but here in the city, some homeowners choose to, you know, partially go off grid, you know, by supplying their own electricity. And they ditch their home line, you know, phone lines and things. And how that's done is they get what they call solar panels, and they hook solar panels to their roofs or in their yard or whatever, and the solar panels generate electricity. And then a lot of people, when they move so they can live off grid, they dig wells and then they put in septic tanks. That right there gets rid of water companies. You know, you don't pay a water bill. You know, a lot of them still might have cell phones and things, but other than that, they're just off the grid. Now, there are those who are hardcore who don't even use solar panels but live like our, foreparents did, just using like lanterns for light. They use, they burn wood for heat and for cooking, and they do what's called composting toilets. They don't use no modern amenities at all. But we understand there are people who just won't live that way. But if something ever happened, you know, would you or could you? There are some pros and there are some cons, and we're going to talk about those, starting off with the pros. Okay, like they say, living off grid, you're not connected to any of the utility power sources. So that in itself, you save money because you no longer have bills coming to you to pay these things. Then you have, you grow your own food. You raise, if you eat meat, you know, you raise your own food. You plant gardens. You know what your family is eating. You raise your own cows, chickens, goats, whatever it is. You raising them yourself. Those are all pluses. You're not confined to the city. You're out. You know, you're out in the country. Your children can run around, get fresh air. You don't have to worry about any harm coming to your children. And I am going to link this up to, you know, community living in a minute. But first, I want to get through, you know, all the pros and the cons of this. And like I said, there are some people who live off-grid who use solar panels. They use wind turbines to generate electricity. A lot of them use propane. You know, they're not connected to any gas sources, so they use propane. What else? Water sources. Like I said, they dig wells. They have their own water source. They have septic tanks for what they call black water, gray water that the water goes into. And so that, you know, that in itself, you don't have to pay anybody. You know, the money, if you decide to continue to work in the system, the money that you make is yours. Now, mind you, you won't be able to do this living in the city, not unless, you know, you just let them turn off your lights and then you never turn them back on again, because they can't force you to do that, I don't think, you know. And if they turned off the gas because you didn't pay your bill, I mean, there are ways that you can get around living, you know, like that in the city if you choose to, okay? Now, I don't know, you know, nobody knows how many people are actually living off-grid here in the United States. But there are a lot of people now using solar power, even in the cities. Okay, now, continuing with the pros, okay, it's a stress-free life. You know, it's stress-free. Would it take a little money getting started? Yes, it will. Okay, because if you say you're buying land, you have to buy your land where you're going to be. You have to check, you know, your city and your county, wherever you're at, what their laws are. Find a place where it's most friendly for you to live off the grid. Now, a lot of places are kind of going in there because going that way because a lot of places thinking green and people they call a cutting down on a carbon footprint. What a carbon footprint is how much you use, like electricity, gas, and all that kind of stuff. When you cut that down, that kind of, they say it helps the environment. Now the cons of living off the grid is, like I said, it's not really a con, but it's getting started. If this is what you really want to do, the lifestyle that you want to choose to live. Are you ready to live a life like this? Many people want to, but they're not prepared for what the work that has to go in it. Because yes, if you're gonna raise animals and gardening and all that, that's hard work, you know, because you have to get up, you have to feed your animals, you have cows and goats, you know, for milk, you have to milk your animals. You have to work the land, the gardens to keep weeds from overtaking them. If you garden smart, though, you don't have to do all that. But anyway, there is a lot of work into going in. I say the first year or the first year and a half might be a struggle because you don't have all that at your fingertips. You are generating your own electricity if you choose to have it. If you use propane, you're using propane. If not, you're using wood to burn for heat. That means you have to go and cut down your own firewood. You know, you have to get your firewood sources. You have to make sure that your land has water on it so you can dig wells. And how far down you have to dig a well. You know, those are some of the, you know, the cons, you know, making sure you have a good water source, because you never want to live on land and don't have a water source. So always check for your water table. Now, I myself think living off the grid would be awesome. You know, and a lot of you who listen to me know that I talk about it all the time, and not only living off grid, but living in a community that's off grid. People who do live off grid are more, they're healthier and they're more stress free. And I think diseases are at a minimum too, like those who might suffer from, you know, heart conditions and diabetes and all that kind of stuff, because you're living a healthier lifestyle, you're eating a cleaner and better, with no chemicals in your food, everything is just fresh because you go out in your own garden, pull up your greens, go in the house, cook them, you know, whatever. If you're eating raw, then you just eat them, you know, and everything is cleaner, so your health is better. That's a pro. That goes on the pro side. But, let me go back to the cons. You know, you might, the first year, your garden might fail or something like that. But, like I said, when you live off-grid, there are certain things you learn how to do. But like I said, I watch certain people online who do this, you know, and they seem to be doing okay. But the first year, like I said, the first year is usually the hardest. It's just the struggle that you go through because you're just getting set up to do all this stuff. Now, when you do it as a community, I think it makes it better. Now, even if it's just like maybe three families, okay, said, okay, we're going to do this. And because they're like it's safety in numbers. First of all, you have to be of the same mindset, you know, and the Most High has to call you to this particular kind of lifestyle as well. He has to lay it on your heart. It has to be a desire so deep within you that, yeah, I want to do this and I can make it. Because there are things you're going to have to build, like barns and sheds and buildings, shelters for your animals and chicken coops and all this kind of stuff. But still, to me, that's a pro because you're doing this for the benefit of you and your family. And like now, many houses here have these smart meters. Now, smart meters throw off radiation. And I know last year, and they do real harm. Last year, I talked about my garden, and my garden wouldn't grow. And then it dawned on me, I watched a YouTube video about smart meters and realized that it was throwing radiation right towards where my garden was. And so nothing would grow, but then it would die. So, we want to get away from all that kind of stuff. You know, I know how to fix it this year, you know, just by putting some metal aluminum screening over the meter itself so the radiation won't mess with the garden. But also, living off grid, I want to talk more about the pros. Yes, I know there are cons, and like I said, that first year you will find some things. Now, there are two families that I watch on YouTube who are grafted into our community, our family, okay? One is called An American Homestead. They live off-grid, but they use solar panels. She uses propane when she cooks in the house. But she does a lot of the wife. She does a lot of cooking outside when it's warm, and she cooks open and she cans and cooks on an open fire. They have a bread oven that they built outside. They use no electricity. They use basically candles and lanterns. They have a well. They don't have any running water. They have a well that she also uses for refrigeration. Let's see. They raise their own food. They have a donkey, goats, all that kind of stuff. Like I said, they do have solar panels. Now, let me see if I can find it. There is this other family who is totally off the grid. Let me see if I can find their name. Let's see, they are also there's Growing in Faith Farm is what it's called. They don't have electricity. Now, she has, the wife in this one, she has a wood-burning stove that she cooks on, an old-fashioned wood-burning stove. I would love to have one of those. There's another family, let me see, who are learning to go off-grid. Now, I don't know who they are or what they believe in, but it's called Our Tiny Home Adventures. And that's another thing that goes along with living off-grid. Okay, what kind of dwelling do you want to have? Do you want to continue to live in a huge home, or do you want to downsize? You know, like older people like myself. Now, I wouldn't want a house. Okay, the house we live in now is 2 bedrooms, 2, 1.5 baths. Then, you know, kitchen. I wouldn't want a space this big. because I would want to cut down and downsize. Okay, now with you, what kind of space do you need? You know, if you have children, do you want each of them to have their own room? Like back in the day, we shared rooms. You know, all the girls were in one room, all the boys were in another room. You know, we could have a 3-bedroom house. You can have 4 daughters, and they all would be in one room. If you had 4 sons, they would all be in one room. It was called bunk beds. Okay, and yeah, how big of a space do you want to live in? You know, that's something else you want to check out. Are you retired, or you know, do you just want to cut down on the space that you live in? So that's just some of the things that you can look at when you get ready to live off-grid, okay? So now we are going to take another break, and we'll be right back.
Galatians 3:16 reads, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Messiah. And this I say, that the Torah, which was given 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by Yahuwah, that it should make the promise of no effect." Paul is simply saying that in all of mankind since Adam, only one person has qualified to receive the inheritance of all the promises that were made to Abraham, Yeshua the Messiah. He is that seed, because only Yeshua was found to be perfect, because he met every condition of the covenant. So he then became the inheritor of eternal life. And this is why the grave could not legally hold him. This shows the importance of keeping the Torah, and why Yeshua said that not one jot or tittle of the Torah would pass away until all is fulfilled in Matthew 5:18. Galatians 3:29 states, "If you belong to Messiah, then you are Abraham's seed and joint heirs according to the promise." Paul continues to explain that the Abrahamic covenant promises cannot be annulled through the Torah, for Torah simply defines what sin is for all eternity, and no covenant made with man will ever do away with Father's Torah. If you do away with Father's Torah, you do away with him, for he lives according to his Torah, which describes him. And according to Jeremiah 1:12, he watches over his word to perform it. Even the Mosaic covenant principles in Torah regarding sacrifices are still significant under the new covenant, because our bodies become the reasonable sacrifice, according to Romans 12. Yeshua requires our fleshly nature to be sacrificed so that he can write his Torah on our heart, so that we will not sin, for sin is the transgression of the Torah. Paul states in Colossians 3:5, to put to death the lust of our earthly nature, and Torah is our instructions on how to do just that and become set apart and return to Father. I'm Bill Sanford with the Torah Thought for the day.
When Yahshua was in Mitzrayim's land, let my people go. Oppressed so hard that they could not stand, let my people go. Go down, Masha, way down in Mitzrayim's land. Hello, Pharaoh, to let my people go. Oh, let us all from bondage flee, let my people go. And let a soul in Mashiach be free, let my people go. Go down, Mashiach, way down in Mitzrayim's land. Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. You need not always weep and mourn, let my people go. And wear those slavery chains forlorn, let my people go. Go down, Masha, way down in Mitzrayim's land. Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. Your foes shall not before you stand, let my people go. You shall possess the Canaan land, let my people go. go down my shaft, way down in Mithraim's lay, and tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. Go down my shaft, way down in Mithraim's lay, and tell old Pharaoh to let my people go, so that we may worship him, so that we may worship him, worship Yahuwah. So that we may worship him, so that we may worship him, worship Yahuwah.
Time I think about all he's done, how he changed my life and made it so much better. I'm just in awe, it's so amazing, yeah, yeah. Cause many times I was down on my knees crying, looking for the answer, but I couldn't find it at all, yeah. But he always came on time and made it right.
And that song is I'm Nothing Without Him. And the other before that was Let My People Go by Hadar Bat Yah. And we're back. We were talking about living off the grid and who could do it and the pros and cons and the type of shelters. Now, one of the first things people need to do, you know, is find the most off-grid friendly states, you know, which state you want to be in, or do you want to be in a warm climate? Does it matter if it snows or not? And how to prepare. And like I said, this goes hand in hand too with community living. Like I know there are two communities. There's a Straightway communities that's in Tennessee, I think Lafayette, Tennessee. And the other one is in North Carolina, South Carolina. I don't remember which one. But there are communities out there who are, a lot of them are living off-grid. They are partially off-grid. Some have electricity, but not gas. Some have propane, but not electricity. But like I said, find out the friendly, you know, the states that, you know, really don't have a problem with it and find out their, you know, what their codes are, what they allow, what they don't allow. Because you'd be surprised at the things you can do. Like if you, certain places you go, make, you know, like I said, you want to make sure you have water, that you can get to water, because that's important. Like I have family who are in Idaho, and within the next few months, by the summertime, you know, they'll be going, moving towards that way. Not totally yet, but, you know, trying to be self-sufficient, because there's nothing like being self-sufficient. I'm still in the city right now. I should be in Idaho now, but I had things that I had to take care of here first before I could totally, you know, cut the apron string, so to speak. But I'm looking forward to it. You know, I don't see a problem with it. It's just, you know, like I said, you have to learn how to be, you know, self-sufficient and how to grow and how, you know, to do what it is that you have to do. But I know a lot of our people are going that way now, because it just makes more sense. And people say, oh, you can't do that. What you going to do without electricity? Well, there are a lot of people today that still live without electricity. Let's take the Amish people, for instance, okay? They have been living what we call off-grid. They call it a simple life. You know, there are some that use electricity, but they have what they call old-world Amish that don't use electricity. They don't use anything. They live like they did in the 1800s and 1900s, and they don't have no sickness hardly in their in their communities. Their children don't get, like we have autism and all that, and their children don't get all that. That's because they don't immunize their kids and all that stuff. But they raise their own food, they work hard, and they've been doing it since they've been in this country. You know, they've been here since, what, the 1800s, early 1800s, and they use horse and buggy. There are some that drive, but the majority of the old world, they don't drive. And that's another thing. Would you keep your license? Will you continue to drive? You know, so just a few things that you look forward to doing when you live in off-grid. And I was talking about some of the families that I watch on YouTube who live this way and how they just simpler. And one of the men talked about how he just lost like 50 pounds just working outside every day, in the garden, building his sheds and taking care of his animals and things. He just doing everyday honest hard work on the farm, you know, and him and his wife both lost weight doing that. And their children are able to go out and run free and play and without worrying about anybody snatching them. And that's another thing too, you know, like I was saying earlier that, you know, your children just, you know, you can homeschool your children and they're classroom is everything around them, learning about different things, learning about the animals, learning how to grow food, learning about, you know, what makes a collard green green and a corn yellow or white, and yeah, that can be implemented into their schooling. And so it's so much of an advantage, I think. You know, that's just my opinion. A lot of you out there might think, nah, I wouldn't want to do all that. That's just too much. I like things where they are. But we also got to take into consideration, we got to think about doing something because it's not going to always be this way. And I, for one, you know, don't want to be caught in the city when things start to happen. You know, I would rather be out there in the country doing my thing, you know, praising Yah. Because, you know, we're a people who are not meant to be in the city anyway. I don't know if you know that, but if you read the word, when you read the Torah and you read Tanakh, even in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, these people didn't, you know, a lot of them lived in Jerusalem, but a lot of them lived outside of Jerusalem in countries. You know, they grew their own food. And they had stores and markets back in those times. People went and bought fruit and different things. But the majority of the people lived the agrarian lifestyle. And, you know, you're healthier when you live that lifestyle, you know, I believe. But there are some people like the power companies, water companies, that don't want to see people living off the grid. Because I was just reading this morning, I should have kept that page, but I didn't, how they're trying to discourage people. Talk about, living off grid is horrible and it's not as easy as you think it is. Well, living off grid can be as easy or as hard as you make it. Okay, now here's one of those stories that let me see if it'll open right up or if it's going to take time. It says they actually want to live off grid. The costs are higher than you think. Take a look at this infographic and see if you have what it takes to live off grid. Now, yes, like I said earlier, the first year, your first year is going to be, you know, the year is going to cost a little bit because you're going to be, not unless you start doing it before you go into it, you're going to have to get all your, now, if you're going to use solar panels and wind turbines and all that, yes, you have to invest in those. But now they're not as expensive as they used to be because a lot of people are buying them, you know. So you can get a good set of solar panels for a good price. So you invest in your solar panels. You can start. You can buy one at a time and put it away. You can buy your wind turbine and put them away. That's not like the great big ones that people might see. You know, they're not that big. They're smaller than that, and people use them all the time. What else? Other things, let me see. I'm trying to think. I just drew a blank. Yeah, you start preparing. If you know, say, if this is something that you plan on doing, say, by June, this is February, March, April, May, June, or say by August, or even next year, you know, this is what you start doing. You start investing in those things now. If you're a person who go out and eat all the time, stop going out and eat and invest in the things that you need. One of the most expensive things would be right along with the solar panel, is a wood-burning stove that you cook on. But then people might want to just keep a regular stove and use propane. You know, I, for one, would go for wood-burning cook stove because if there come a time that you can't get propane, what are you going to do? So, you know, and those stoves they're kind of expensive too. But if you start planning at a time, when you make your move, you can get all that stuff. And then again, what kind of shelter do you want to have? You know, that's what I asked before. What kind of home are you going to invest in? Again, that all depends on how big your family is. There's one of the families that I watch on YouTube. They have this small, tiny home, and it's seven of them living in it. It's just how they have it set up. and their sleeping arrangements, you know, and it works for them. But we're so used to having overabundance, even so-called poor people who live in the so-called inner cities. We have more than we really need. Okay, now, because I can just straight say this. I know somebody on welfare whose nine-month-old babies wear Nike or Jordan tennis shoes. Okay, you know what I could do with that, you know, and they wear all this gold and have flat screen TVs and all that kind of stuff. So our poorest of the poor are living good lives, at least where I live, okay, because I live in L.A., Los Angeles, California, and yeah, I live in, you could say it's the devil's playground, but, you know, people here, they have more than what they need, okay? They have way more than what they need. And living off-grid, living a farm life, that's what I'm going to call it from now on, a farm life. You can purchase, say you own a home, okay, and you want to get off the grid. You could sell your home, purchase a few acres of land, and build a home and still have money left over to do whatever. You know, so it is not that expensive. It all depends on where you want to go. People are just, well, I don't want to leave the city. I want to stay in California. I want to stay in New York. I want to stay in all these places that are not friendly to people who want to live off-grid. Like I say, I can't wait to the day that I can get the heck out of here myself. But anyway, we need to start looking into these things, you know, because like I said, it's safety in numbers. It's healthier for us living in these polluted cities, you know, germs and sickness. I have seen people have colds who have had colds and runny noses and coughs for like 6 months and just can't get rid of it. Why? Because we're living in a place where it's just so congested. And I don't know, that's just something that I want to do. So right here, we're going to take another break, and then we'll be right back.
You know, it only makes common sense that the author and creator of mankind would want to give us his instructions for life, in which he desired for us to walk. So that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Having eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Father knew we would need to know the difference between the two. Why would the creator of life not desire to give his instructions to his future bride? And this is exactly what happened at Mount Sinai when the 12 tribes entered into covenant with Yahuwah. It was a marriage contract in which Father laid out the way he wanted his future bride to walk. And if they obeyed, he would bless us. And he would be our Elohim, and we would be his people. And he would prosper us above all the nations of the world. And through us, all the world would be blessed. So when the 10 northern tribes of Israel disobeyed his Torah and broke covenant, Father took his Torah from us and pushed us out of his covenant land and scattered us to the nations. And because of this, the whole world began to lose out on the blessings from Father's covenant people. Father was basically saying to the house of Israel, if you do not want to obey my Torah, then I will punish you by removing my Torah from you. And I will remove even the remembrance that you were my people from your descendants and scatter you to the nations where you will be held captive by the Gentiles and they will mistreat you. And after you bear your punishment and your descendants come to their senses, and repent, I will renew my covenant with you and put my spirit within you and write my Torah on your heart and bring you back to my covenant land where you will observe my Sabbath and my feast days and I will rule over you and you will obey my Torah. In a nutshell, this is Torah's gospel message of the past, present, and future of the house of Israel, also reflected in the story of the prodigal son. I'm Bill Sanford with the Torah thought for the day.
I'm talking to all the believers. The Bible says in Psalms 82:6, you are God. And all of you are children of the Most High. So stand up and represent, cause we come to celebrate, to lift him up, to magnify. We lift his name on high, standing on his promises, walking in victory, trusting in his holy ways, believe in walking faith.
Come on. The children of Yahweh.
There is really very little difference in a false witness and a traitor. Both portray lies and act deceitfully among the brethren. And yet there are those who do both unknowingly, because they themselves are deceived about what is truth. The word traitor in Greek means to give in to your enemy's hands and surrender. And in Hebrew, the word traitor simply means to be unfaithful. The greatest traitor was Judas, who betrayed Yeshua with a kiss the night he was taken into custody. And yet we can only surmise from the actions Judas took the next day by hanging himself that not only was he extremely remorseful, but he may have thought what he was doing was righteous, because he apparently wanted to force Yeshua to use his divine power to become king and somehow lead the cause to defeat Rome. Whatever his reasoning, he was deceived. Which leads me to ask the question, how many believers today are deceived about the practice of man-made doctrines that have the appearance of righteousness and faithfulness on the surface, but are actually promoting lies and deceit among the brethren, and have departed from the one true faith handed to us by the apostles to guard and protect? Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. How many believers have actually surrendered their faith and are now acting unfaithful by practicing the counterfeit substitution that the apostate church has demanded we observe if we wish to remain faithful according to their definition of faithfulness? To practice a lie and to believe it as truth is the definition of being deceived, and whether knowingly or unknowingly, the end result is unfaithfulness. And this is exactly what the practice of Christmas, Easter, and Sunday as Sabbath is. And those who practice such are actually not only traitors to the one true faith, but they are bowing their knee in submission to the whore of Babylon and condoning falsehood to rule their spiritual lives, and are rejecting Father's Torah. I'm Bill Sanford with the Torah Thought for the day.
This is truth music, the truth movement. Yo, we've been a part of the biggest conspiracy the planet has ever known, man. You ever wonder why everybody seems to hate us? Everywhere we go, seems like everybody hate us. The world is against us. We gonna bring y'all some light, you know what I mean? Check it out.
It's been a long time, but we waking up so many lies been told. We waking up so many, locked up so many, shot down. Can't keep Judah from his crown. Try to hold us, try to break us, take our names away, but couldn't shake us. Now praise to the Most High when on your mic. What a feeling, y'all. We did it right.
Lie to us, Christians lie to us. Read the Bible, the history is tied to us. Nobody cried for us, Messiah died for us. Ask the saints, all of them cry for us at last. The truth has finally come out, we the people of the Bible. This is no doubt, can these bones live? I am living proof and baffled. Why my people hate the truth? False religions, false idols, false titles. This is truth music, not elementary recitals. Feel this, y'all, get close to the speaker. The world stresses me when I'm feeling weaker. Let it sink down deep, deep into your mental. Truth gets so hot it overheat. Instruments, we from the big cities, plus the big lights. What a feeling, y'all. We the Israelites.
Long time, but we waking up so many. Lies been told, we waking up so many. Locked up so many, shot down. You can't keep Judah from his crown. Try to hold us, try to break us, take our names away, but couldn't shake us. Now praise to the Most High when on your mic. What a feeling, y'all. We the Israelites.
Picture 400 years of slavery. The same people had a lifetime full of bravery, hung in trees just like the Savior. Had to pick up the pen and put the truth down on paper. And if you don't believe me, check out the script. Deuteronomy 28 and 68, that's a tip on who was brung to the U.S. on slave ships. Learn real history, not just BS. Heretics, governments, politicians making satanic decisions. Walt Disney turning kids into magicians. But now, truth is coming out in these last days. Put the strong drink down and throw away your haze. Plagues, don't worry, the Most High will bring them. You wanna know whose address is on the kingdom? We from the big cities, plus the big lies. What a feeling, y'all, we the Israelites.
No time, but we waking up so many. Lies been told, we waking up so many. Locked up.
Americans, Democrats or Republicans, pledge allegiance to fraternity, burn eternally, tell them the truth, my folks quick to turn on me, they still learning me, my family is concerning me, I got a flow that's just straight up be earning me, but Satan got a tooth in the backyard, don't miss it, they call me king, but my hand, you don't kiss it, we from the big cities, plus big lights, what a feeling, y'all, we the Israelites.
My break, and that's We Are Israelite by Truth Music, and the song before that was Dennis Witherspoon, Children of Yahweh. All right, we're going to get back to talking about living off grid. Now, like I said, it's important that there are some things we need to do. I said, now, yes, it's going to take money your first year when you decide to do this, because, you know, there are things you're going to have to purchase, things you're going to have to need, you're going to have to purchase property. Now, that's one thing I really wanted to go back to when you purchasing land, okay? Like I said, you have to make sure that the location that you're going to is off-grid friendly, because there are certain places that are, and there are certain places that are not. Okay, now, one of the things you want to consider when you're buying property, you want to make sure that you get, find out who, if somebody else owns mineral rights or water rights, and if they're included in the purchase, because you do not want to buy property where you don't have water rights, or like, say, for instance, if you go to a state like, say, Idaho, Colorado, Montana, you want to make sure you have your own hunting rights on your land. Those are the things you want to look for. If you can't have those, then move on. Find some more property that you can, because you don't want to be living on buying, purchasing property where you cannot do certain things on. Okay? Then finally, you want to check out the zoning laws, okay, where you can build certain type of homes, you know, buildings. Like, you know, a lot of people, the first thing they think of is a cabin, log cabin, you know, which a lot of places are fine with, and also what they call cottages. But then there are also other alternative building methods, such as straw bale, what they call earth bag, cob, adobe, Then there's, you get modular homes and what forth. Then you want to make sure you check out permitting, you know, building codes, covenants, restrictions, there and other legal hurdles, you know, that are out there. Find out everything. Write down everything there is to know. You know, you, because you don't want to, like I say, get stuck with some property and you can't do certain things on. Okay. Check it out. Do your due diligence and make sure you, when you get ready to buy, make sure you find a real estate agent or a realtor who understands buying off-grid property, okay, and understand what you want to do, because the average city dweller agent doesn't know too much, not unless they have looked into it themselves. But find out, you know, search for the right agent first, decide where you want to go, okay? Once you decide, okay, you searched out different states and cities and zones, and you find out, okay, this is where I want to be, then you go find your agent, okay, who has a little, like I said, who has a little bit of knowledge on this, because you don't want to shortchange yourself. It's important to know that going in. Then it's important that you do all your homework now. You do that now. So, hey, when you get ready to do everything, it's already taken care of. And another word that you want to learn when you want to go off-grid is easement. What is an easement, you know, on your property? It might be easement. That's where someone else has access to a road that might, you know, go through your land. So it's called an easement, where they have permission to use the road to get out or to get in to their property, because their property might be behind yours or something like that, in front of yours or whatever, and they need access of that road to get on. But anyway, yeah, check out all this stuff. I mean, once you do all your homework, once you save your money and start getting everything you need, it's not really that difficult. You know, people make it sound harder than what it really is. There are people who have bought land, bought a little cheapy trailer, and lived in that trailer for the first year, because a lot of time the trailer, even in cold climates, you have they have propane. You know, they just fill the propane tanks, and they cooked, and they used the propane for heat, and they bundled up, and they got through it. You know, it, you know, wasn't easy, because it can get kind of cold. But yeah, if you do it right, you can make it. You know, they survived it. They were able to build homes on their property, and after that, you know, they're doing quite well. So yeah, that first year, it is going to take money. It is going to take a lot of hard work, but hey, in the long run, after the, you know, the first year or so, it's you know, not as difficult after that. And it's the saying that they always say, it's fun going. Is that the saying? Oh, I don't know if that's the way it goes, but yeah, it's something to check into. And like I said, if you know of a community that's already set up, that you might like to interview for, to move into that community, then do that too. You know, there's a lot of different ways it can be done. Well, not a lot, but you know, there are ways that it can be done. And and it's just taking the effort to do so. But if you're a person who just wants to stay in the city, you know, you like the city life and you like paying bills, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, and then, hey, this is not for you. This is just for those who want the freedom to be able to do what it is they want to do, how to live the way they want to live, have safety for their children, and things like that. So yeah. So I think that's just about it on living off the grid. This might have a second part, but later on down the line, you know, when I get a little bit more information. But I thought this topic would be interesting, because me, seriously, I think this is something we all need to start looking to, because in the next few years we might not have everything we got. If what the economists are saying and what people are saying We might not. Now, I'm not trying to be a fear monger. I'm just stating the fact. You know, a lot of people say by the end of the year, the economy probably will be already done crash. So, you know, we want to prepare. We want to have our families safe, you know. Like I said, if you want to go off into a community, start now, interview now, because they're just not going to let you roll up in there and live there. You know, they want to know if you're going to fit in their community. So check around. You know, like I said, there are Hebrew Israelite communities out there, you know, all in the United States. Check around. Let them interview you to see if you will fit. Give yourself time to see if you will fit. Okay? And then after that, hey, do what you got to do, you know. So, yeah, so I want to thank you for hanging in here with me this morning. Like I said, Tuesday, I just slept. I don't know what happened. I just didn't make it in. I woke up, and it was like 8:45. It's like, oh, my goodness. I could have got on to get, you know, to get the show, but I was just too tired. You know, I don't know. Maybe my body needed to rest. But I want to thank you for, like I said, hanging out with me this morning. And I'm going to look forward to seeing you guys next week. So join me next week as we talk about another topic. So until then, shalom.